May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Companions Bible Study on Wednesday evenings, there has been a topic of conversation that has come up consistently during our discussions this year. No matter what season we're in or which study we are using, we seem to find ourselves back on this one topic. If we were going to make a list of the top 10 things that make it hard to be a Christian, this might be number one. The topic is driving, specifically driving in the Boston area. I can't tell you the number of times that we have talked about how hard it is to be a Christian behind the wheel of a car. Driving around here seems to turn all of us from calm, rational, very pleasant people into impatient, irrational, miserable, scary monsters. I was talking with someone just the other day who mentioned that she had made a recent trip to Texas. She remarked on how nice and polite everyone was there, and when she came back home, she realized that she was still channeling that Southern grace and hospitality because she kept letting people go in front of her when she was driving. And everyone else who was in that conversation with us reacted to that comment like she was committing some terrible crime. Unfortunately, we live in a part of the country where an activity as common as driving can so easily push us close to, if not over, the edge of anger and impatience. And while driving may be a particular challenge for us New Englanders, we are certainly not alone in facing anger and frustration and impatience in other ways. The wider culture in which we live seems to be steeped in it. From the 24/7 news cycle replete with commentators who are constantly yelling at each other, to social media replete with Facebook rants and Twitter wars and internet trolls, from disputes in our own homes, to conflicts on the national and global stage. We don't have to look too hard to find people who are angry. We may not have to look much farther than our own hearts. But just when we have had enough, just when we are getting ready to lash out in return or cut someone out of our lives for good, Jesus says to us, hold on. Let's think for a moment about this old fig tree, this one that has not borne fruit in such a long time. The farm owner says, cut that stupid tree down, get rid of it, it is a waste of space. But the head gardener says, wait, please, wait. First, let me aerate the soil and throw some manure on that poor thing. After that, let's give the tree just one more year, please. Then, if it doesn't produce, then you can chop it down. Just when we are ready to go into battle, just when we are ready to fly off the handle, just when our own anger is ready to boil over, when we are ready to post that comment or send that tweet or have that argument one more time, Jesus slows us down and brings us back to ourselves. Jesus reminds us that our oh-so-human tendency to deal with conflict by lashing out or by cutting off, that human tendency might reflect the ways of the world around us. But Jesus invites us to a different way. He invites us to let go of anger and cultivate patience instead. When we are worked up and in a frenzy, Jesus says, wait. That conflict that causes us to lose our mind, Jesus says, hold on. That situation that seems hopeless, the places that seem dead and lifeless, Jesus says, don't cut them off yet. The people that we are ready to cut off or cut out of our lives, Jesus says, wait. Give me a little more time. Let me put some manure on this tree and then, let's see what happens. Now this parable of the fig tree, it tells us something about God. God, our great gardener. Because 3 years should have been long enough for that fig tree to be productive, and the logical course of action would have been to uproot that unproductive tree so that it wouldn't take up valuable ground that could be used to nourish a new fruit-bearing tree. But Jesus has the gardener respond differently, doing something that simply doesn't make sense under the circumstances. But this tells us something about our God, because God's love and grace often do not make sense to us. They seem like extravagant gifts that we simply don't deserve. And certainly the people in our lives who drive us crazy, they don't deserve those good gifts either. But God does not see the world in the same way that we do. God does not see us in the same way that we see ourselves, and God does not see the most difficult people in our lives in the same way that we see them. When we see failure, God sees possibility. When we respond with anger, God says, wait, can't we give it just a little more time? When we see only death, God promises life. So this parable tells us something about God, our great gardener, who is willing to take some time in order to tend the most broken places in our lives, in this world, and in our relationships with other people. And this parable tells us something about ourselves. It's an invitation for us to wait, because manure is not a quick fix. It's a slow solution. It takes time for the nutrients in the fertilizer to make their way into the soil. And then it takes time for the roots of old trees to start taking in those nutrients. And then it takes even more time for new life to start budding on those old trees. It all takes time, which means that we have to wait, which means that we are invited to cultivate patience. And it is not easy for us to wait in this world of quick fixes and easy answers. We're invited to wait. I think this parable also tells us something honest about life, right? Because God puts manure around that tree. Manure isn't clean. It's messy, dirty, smelly stuff. And sometimes God asks us to just wait while the messy, dirty, complicated parts of our lives work themselves out by the grace of God. So, friends, the invitation for us this week is to learn what it means to let go of anger, to let go of impatience, to let go of judgment, and cultivate instead patience. You will find in your bulletin again this week a piece of origami paper. And on this paper, I invite you to write down the things that make you angry. Maybe they are things happening in this world. Maybe they are things happening in your own home, in your own relationships with other people. Who are the people who drive you crazy? Or the situations that can make your blood boil? Write those down. I know you have them. We all do. And it is okay to be honest about those things, because we then get to bring these and place them here at the foot of the cross. We may not know how to fix these situations, but the beautiful thing about this parable is that we don't have to. We just have to give them over to God so that God can tend to them. It is God, the good gardener, who will dig up the soil and put some fertilizer around it and then hope for new life to come to be. We just have to be honest and ask God to be at work in those places in our lives that feel dead and broken and barren. So friends, on this day, in the week ahead, may you find ways to let go of that anger, that impatience inside. Give those things over to God, and then we wait together. We cultivate patience, knowing that somehow, in some way, new life will come. Amen.